The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum, and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We are on a very important day. At first, I have a brief description about this day. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, was martyred on 21st of Ramadan 40 AH by an assassin who mortally wounded the holy Imam, peace be upon him, with a poisoned sword in the mosque at Kufa during morning prayers on 19th of Ramadan 40 AH. On this sorrowful and sad occasion of the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, we extend our heartfelt condolences to all Muslim ummah across the world.
Tears, scream, and voice.
Today, Thursday, is the 19th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 1st of Urdibehesht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 21st of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, we offer our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Shia's first Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam.
His last salat Ali led. Ali was struck on the head. We all shall miss you, oh Haider. We all shall miss you. After he rose from sajda, Ali was stuck in Kufa. We all shall miss you, oh Haider. We all shall miss you. Warrior of Khaybar, our leader Haider.
Imam Ali and Ibn Muljim. Imam Ali, alayhi salam, was undoubtedly sure that Abdurrahman ibn Muljim would assassinate him. Historicist says that Ibn Muljim came to the Imam and pledged allegiance to him with the others who pledged their allegiance and withdrew from him. Then the Imam called him back and advised him to be trustworthy and to be sure that he was not treacherous and did not break his oath. He did that promise to keep his word, then he withdrew. A second time, the Imam called him back and asked him to be trustworthy and to be sure that he was not treacherous and did not break his oath. Ibn Muljim said, "By God, O Amir al-Mu'minin, I have not seen you do this with anyone else except me." However, the Imam refrained from answering him. Then the Imam cited this poetic verse, "I want his friendship and he wants my death. The one who makes excuses to you is one of your bosom friends from the tribe of Murad." Then the Imam continued, "Go, Ibn Muljim. I do not think that you will keep your word. Today is the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Dear brothers and sisters, please accept our condolences on this day." Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the Prophet Muhammad's, the anticipation that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made with regard to the martyrdom fate of Imam Ali alayhi salam. First of all, it must be indicated that the infallibles in some cases are provided with the divine ability, with the ability granted to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to anticipate the future. Of course, the anticipation of the future isn't anything, abrupt or anything strange. Based on the indications and, context that they observe, they can anticipate the future of someone or the fate of somebody in the future. One of the cases has been that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam anticipated the martyrdom fate of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please note carefully that martyrdom is one of the great graces that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give someone. As such, we find that among the divine prophets, many divine prophets achieved the martyrdom, and among the infallible imams, all of the infallible imams achieved martyrdom, particularly Imam Ali alayhi salam and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And among the infallible imams, And among the infallible Imams in Islam, we find that Imam al-Husayn al-Salam is always remembered as the Imam whose fate was nothing but martyrdom. However, back to our mainstream, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this anticipation regarding Imam Ali al-Salam's fate. And this anticipation the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made when the first two verses of the Surah Al-Ankabut was revealed unto him. And at that time, Imam Ali alayhi salam asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked whether it had been decreed to take place at the end of the Battle of Uhud. And he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered that no, because the Battle of Uhud was already over. Then Imam Ali alayhi salam, when assured of his martyrdom fate, thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Imam Ali alayhi salam indicated that martyrdom shouldn't be endured with, rather martyrdom fate should be thanked and should be praised, should be appreciated, because it's the best type of death. And according to a piece of hadith related by Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, who was a confident companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and lived long enough to meet the fifth infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the news of the martyrdom fate to Imam Ali alayhi salam and indicated that he would be martyred by receiving a hard blow on the head.
وكان من صفات أمير المؤمنين سلام الله عليه أنه يقرأ القرآن في كل ليلة يقرأ القرآن في آناء الليل وأطراف النهار قائما ليله عليا دمتنا علي أنه يقرأ القرآن أنه يقرأ القرآن
عادي كل البشر في بدانك العين عادي كل البشر في بدانك العين عادي
Imam Ali's last will. When physicians decided that the Imam, peace be upon him, would not survive, the Imam started to say his last will to his sons. I advise you both to fear Allah and that you should not hanker after the pleasures of this world, even though it may run after you. Do not be sorry for anything of this world that you have been denied. Speak the truth and act in expectation for reward. Be an enemy of the oppressor and helper of the oppressed. I advise you both and all my children and members of my family and everyone whom my writing reaches to fear Allah, to keep your affairs in order and to maintain good relations among yourselves. For I have heard your grandfather, the Holy Prophet, saying, improvement of mutual differences is better than general prayers and fasting.
Meditation in God is my capital. Reason and sound logic are the root of my existence. Love is the foundation of my existence. Enthusiasm is the vehicle for my life. Contemplation of Allah is my companion. Faith is the source of my power. Sorrow is my friend. Knowledge is my weapon. Patience is my clothing and virtue. Submission to the divine will is my pride. Truth is my salvation. Worship is my habit. and in prayer lies the coolness of my eyes and my peace of mind.
Victorious of the Imam. A group of Imam's companions came to visit him at the final hours of his lifetime. Habib ibn Amr had the honor to see the Imam. He gently said in his presence, "Your wound is not deadly. You will recover health." The Imam, however, answered, "O Habib, I will very soon depart from you." These words astounded Habib, who could not stop weeping upon hearing these words from her father. Lady Umm Kulthum wept heavily. The Imam, addressing her, asked, "What for are you weeping?" She answered, "How cannot I weep while I have heard you saying that you would very soon leave us?" The Imam, peace be upon him, said, "O daughter, do not weep. By Allah, if you can only see what your father can see right now." "O leader of the believers, what can you see now?" asked Habib. The Imam answered, "O Habib, I can see the angels of the heavens and the prophets standing on their feet, one after another, to receive me. I can also see my dear brother Muhammad sitting near me and saying, 'Come to us, because what you will experience is better than what you are now in.'"
See and analyze, why is it that Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam was the object of so much hatred and enmity from those people during his lifetime? We see that these people actually had a problem not with Ali ibn Abi Talib as a person. They had a problem with Islam, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The reason why they hated the Imam alayhi salam is because of their hatred for truth. Because wherever Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam went, he would remind them of the truth. His presence, his mere presence, always reminded them of what they should do and what they should don't. And that makes some people uncomfortable. We've seen this in our societies, right? I know some people, they avoid being around certain pious individuals because that does not make them comfortable. Because that God-fearing person will remind you of your own duties, will make you ashamed, even if he doesn't say anything. His mere good behavior makes you ashamed of your bad behavior. So that's why you're not comfortable being around that person. These people were not comfortable being around Ali ibn Abi Talib because he was the symbol of truth. And that is why Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is the symbol of truth, because he represents the religion of Islam. And the hatred towards Ali ibn Abi Talib is actually towards Islam.
Dear brothers and sisters, on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, we extend our condolences to all Muslim brothers and sisters, especially Shia ones. We leave you in Allah's protection and fi amanillah.
food for thought. Salam, friends, and condolences to you all on the fateful 19th of Ramadan, the day on which, while engrossed in the morning prayer in the Grand Mosque of Kufa in Iraq, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him, was struck a fatal blow of a poisoned sword by the renegade Abdurrahman ibn Muljam. And the expression that came to the lips of the mortally injured vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as his fruitful 63-year life was about to end, was, "By the Lord of the Kaaba, I have succeeded."
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to offer our condolences to our esteemed listeners on this most grave night, which is the night where the first Imam, the Commander of the Faithful, and the fourth Caliph of the Muslims, Ali ibn Abi Talib, was struck in the state of prostration while he was praying in the Mosque of Kufa, which eventually led to the martyrdom and the demise of the Imam. The character of Imam Ali alayhi salam is something which is attested to by all Muslims, not only the followers of the school of the family of the Prophet alayhi salam. All of the various Islamic sects in the Islamic world attest to his virtue, his superiority, and his grandeur, and also to the great loss that occurred when he was killed and he was martyred. Even non-Muslims also attest to this. His enemies, his friends, all of them attest to his superiority and his grandeur. One of the great characteristics of Imam Ali was his knowledge. In a hadith, we read the following. Imam Ali himself said the following regarding himself. He said, "I am fused with a hidden knowledge, such that were I to disclose it, you would be shaking like ropes hanging from a bucket in a deep well." You know, Imam Ali's knowledge was great. His bravery in the battlefield and in his defense of Islam and the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something which everybody attests to and has been narrated in hadith related both from in sources of the Shia sources as well as Sunni sources as well. And one of the characteristics of the Imam is the great oppression that was meted out to him and the great injustices that he faced after the demise of the Holy Prophet. In a very beautiful tradition, Imam Ali alayhi salam is reported to have said, "I have been oppressed ever since the Holy Prophet passed away." And in another similar tradition, the Imam said, "No person has faced what I have faced." The Imam said, "I used to think that the ruler oppresses the people, but now the people oppress the ruler." So these are things which have been narrated from Imam Ali regarding himself. And the greatest service that we can do for, or the help that we can, you know, do for Imam Ali and to kind of cancel out, you know, what was, you know, committed against him, is for us to follow his advice that he gave to us, and to, you know, listen to his suggestions and his advice that he gave to us as his followers. Imam Ali is reported to have said, "Verily, I do not encourage you to perform any act of obedience without performing it myself first, nor do I prohibit you from any sin without first refraining from it myself." Right? What a great leader we had, and what a great loss we incurred on this, in these grave nights. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtues of Imam Ali and the oppression that he faced after the death of the Prophet, in his own words. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
أدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم
صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, the listeners of the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network, right?
Especially students.
Yeah. Especially in cooperation with the students.
I can't read page 7.
The school. Mr. Minhal Hussein Nasir, Mr. Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Jafari, Mr. Mahdi Chasib Al Husseinan, and Sayyid Muhammad Hadi.
And especially Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Jafari.
And of course, me is there too.
Especially not Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Jafari.
Thank you so much for joining us. Let's go on and continue reciting the Quran. This time we'll listen to Brother Mahdi Chasib Abdul Karim Al Husseinan.
My full name.
Oh, really? Okay, Mahdi.
Mahdi Chasib Abdul Karim Al Husseinan.
Okay.
Now
he will recite Ayah 40, Ya Bani Israel. Then, inshallah, also the next ayah. A'udhu Billah.
Wait, what? Next ayah?
Yeah.
Bani,
by the way,
Bani,
if you forgot where we were, we are on page 7, chapter 1, I mean Juz al-Awwal,
39.
Surah al-Baqarah, ayah 14, 40, sorry.
No, 40. Yes, 40.
So, Minhal Hussein, Yahya, and Hadi will listen to Mahdi.
Ya Bani Israel, adhkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum wa... وَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِ أوفي بِعَهْدِكُمْ وَإِيَّايَ فَارْهَبُونَ.
Now read it correctly.
So, only there was one mistake.
نعمتي التي نو نعمتي يلتي
I know I do like and one that. More thing نعمتي. Wow
so
wow.
Listen up listen wow. And let me recite this ayah once أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوف بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون. Okay, next ayah, Mahdi.
But okay, I know the first وآمنوا. And then the second word, I have no idea how to read this because...
The first thing to go for a fluent reading is not to be afraid of what the next word is.
No, just I'm not start, afraid. No, no. It's just,
look, listen to me. Just the start, okay? Go on. Continue.
Sure, there's no letter there. It's just if, Mahdi, half a circle with Mahdi, a dot inside.
If you go and look at the next words before you recite, okay? Oh, God, here. Oh, this word. Oh, this must be difficult.
Oh, this one.
This gives you stress.
I'm not stressed out. It's just
no, no. Even if you are not stressed, okay, it will kind of make it harder for you to recite. Mahdi? It will make it difficult for you to recite. Okay? So just go and start.
I can recite it, but I don't know what that letter is.
No, this is... Don't say I don't know, okay? Just go on, recite. You will do it. Which one you don't know?
Bima.
Bima.
That's Bima?
Yes,
that's Bima.
Yeah, that's
Bima. Oh, that is this style, I think. Mahdi,
yes,
is that this
like
way?
This. No,
it's
no,
a
no,
circle.
Like this way.
Ah,
it's
yes.
Bima.
That's Ba.
Yeah, Bima. That's Bima. I did not know that because it's just
a okay, circle. Maybe, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, the writing style is kind of different.
So,
we all will listen to Mahdi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وآمنوا بما أنزلته وأن أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أولا
No, that's correct.
Our brothers are saying that we do not hear
not.
You clearly, so
that's,
keep
it's
close
not.
To the microphone.
It's correct.
أولا كافر به. So we will recite. I will recite. Inshallah, this listen up. Mahdi, listen up. وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافر به. Ah, there is a meme. This time the meme is at the bottom of Ra. Yes?
Sir.
Yes. Not on the top.
Sir.
So this meme is the sign
I
of?
See something.
It's not the sign of. Waqf al-Lazim, yes?
There's
yes.
A za.
It's a different
so, and
meme.
And there's a za on the top.
The first
so
baby of
stop.
Meme.
Yeah.
So this
you
is the first
stop.
Baby
no,
of meme.
You don't have to stop. You can make a stop.
You can, but like it's better to stop though.
Yeah, it's better. No, no, it's better. No. Za was equal to Salah. So it's Salah. Better to connect.
I'm hungry.
Then why did you stop?
Huh? Because I am allowed to stop. Next one. Listen up.
B.
ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإياي فاتقون. Let's continue reciting all together once. Someone
group by group
together.
Is very good.
One, group. Two.
It's a three personal saying group by group.
One, no, let's do it together. One, two.
I also say group.
This is called group reciting, yes? وَلَن تَلْبِسُوا Come on, recite with me.
Oh,
all of us. One. One, two, three.
وَلَن تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ.
Okay, we will make a pause at وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. This is a small ayah, a short one.
After you? No, no,
a
no.
A short ayah.
قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran?
What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's recite the Quran.
One, two, three. Let's go on, recite. One, two, three.
Wait.
The next ayah.
وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ.
Look, salat, salawat, it must be, yes? And also zakat, zakawat, it must be pronounced. But inshallah, the next sessions, we will talk about silent letters, okay? The silent letters. Alif Lam, we studied, yes? Alladhi, for example, Hamzatul Wasl, this ones, we studied. And the next ones we will study, inshallah, the Waw and Ya. Sometimes the Waw and Ya are not pronounced silent letters, like, inshallah. So look, the examples are here as well. Waw and Waw. So this Waw is not pronounced. Why? Because Waw is on the top of Waw, we have a dagger Alif. It's changed to Alif Maddi.
Yeah, and the Waw is eaten by the dagger Alif.
Inshallah, we will study all of them, okay? This kind of English you like? Yeah, yeah.
So. Chinese.
Let's
we have a flower.
Let's continue to the next eyes. One, two, three. Up to what antum tatluna al kitab. Okay, can you go?
Yes.
Okay, one, two, three. أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون
أفلا تعقلون
Okay, واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة One, two, three. guys, listen up. I don't have to repeat one, two, three, okay? We just continue reciting.
Okay.
I don't have to repeat. One, two, three, I don't have to repeat.
One, two, three, I don't have to recite.
Okay, so listen up. I don't have to say this because you make me say this.
One, two, three.
One, ready?
Two, three, I don't want to
ready?
One, two, three. One. You said you didn't want to say one, two, three.
One, two, five.
Two, four.
One, two, four.
Yes, one, two, four.
Let's continue. Next ayah, ayah 45. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي. You can make a pause here. Then start نعمتي اذكروا okay. اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا لَا تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيْئًا
Shia.
No, you will go out of
it. We are not Sunni, we are Shia.
Shia.
If you don't disturb
Shia.
We are not Sunni, we are Shia.
Shia, not Shia.
If you don't disturb here.
ولا يقبل منها شفاعة ولا يؤخذ منها عدل ولا هم ينصرون. This time it's I will recite. You have to repeat after me, okay?
Yes, that's better.
Yeah, that's better.
One, once listen to me and then repeat. Page 8. Alhamdulillah, we are on page 8. جيناكم من آل فرعون وإذ نجيناكم من آل فرعون
وإذ نجيناكم من آل فرعون
يسومونكم سوء العذاب
يسومونكم سوء العذاب
يذبحون أبناءكم ويستحيون نساءكم
يذبحون
ويستحيون نساءكم وفي ذلكم بلاء من ربكم عظيم
وفي ذلكم
هذه
وفي
ذلك
yeah you say what is yeah you say what is
and this is
so pay attention وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ
وَفِي ذَلِكَ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ
listen up وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَّبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ
وفي ذلكم بلاء من ربكم عظيم
ما شاء الله. Thank you so much for joining us. May Allah Almighty inshallah bless us all and grant us health, insurance and happiness inshallah. May Allah Almighty hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman alayhi salam. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and thanks to Sevier International School Network, and also thanks to the students of Sevier International School especially and the teacher of the school. Yeah. Thank you so much. May Allah Almighty bless you. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi al-farajim.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
This is Back to Reality. Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen, the loyal audience of IRB English Radio, welcome to another episode of Back to Reality. In the realm of truth, we have two very dear guests. Now I want them to introduce themselves to you. Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm Muzaffar Haider from the UK, and I'm studying in the holy city of Qom. Alhamdulillah.
Such a pleasure to be with you. So you're studying religion?
Yeah, I'm studying in the Hausa.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm Sadiqa from the UK as well. And I'm studying in Qom as well, in the Sisters Hausa. And my field of study is Fiqh and Usul. Fiqh and Usul is basically the principles of jurisprudence.
Very great. Now, we see people, they fast, they pray, they do too much of ibadat, so, which are the things they do to get closer to God. But still, Muslim people have issues in their societies. Still, there are people who lie. Still, there are people who fight with each other. Still, there are people who do plenty of wrong things. Now, how do you justify that, sister?
We have two devils. You have the outer devil, and then we have the inner devil. The inner devil is that soul that we have not corrected within ourselves. We still have these evil traits within ourselves that we've never bothered to correct, or maybe we did not succeed in correcting them. And therefore, when the month of Ramadan comes, it's still there, because the month of Rajab and Sha'ban are there to help us correct ourselves. But if we do not take advantage of these situations, of these times, and just focus on our day-to-day lives without focusing on correcting our souls, we're never going to be able to correct ourselves or correct our communities. Because God does not change the condition of a people unless they change it themselves.
Exactly.
So that's the first point. The second point comes down to the month of Ramadan is an opportunity for us. And as we said, we have the free will, whether we use it or not. It comes down to how we use the position, the banquet that Allah has spread for us. How do we use it? Because shaitan might be locked up, but our inner devil is still there, ready to strike whenever we...
We still have free will.
We still have free will, and we also have the inner devil that we are using on our free will to, to inflict trouble on others.
We have to overcome that.
We have to overcome that, yes.
Exactly. So now, brother, you see, it's not just about the holy month. As Muslim people, we see that we have plenty of this heritage that tells us, do not do this, don't do that, and go for these good things, go for good deeds, be in hurry for doing those good deeds. What happens to a Muslim that goes outside the line? You know what I mean? We do all those good things, but that does not change a lot about us. How is it?
Comes back to what the sister said.
And I mean, the fasting turns out to be just not eating or not drinking.
Yeah, I mean, Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra has a really beautiful hadith on this, and she says, what is wrong with the person who fasts with their stomachs, but not with their eyes, with their hands, with their heart, with the other parts of themselves? When you're fasting, the hadith actually teach us, the riwayat, the narrations teach us, that fasting is not just a physical action, it is actually something which should be done with all of our essence and being.
Exactly, the entire being of ourselves has to go through this process.
Yeah, I mean, if you're fasting with your stomach, but you're not fasting with your eyes, what does fasting of the eyes mean? It means that you're going to refrain from looking at those things which are haram for you to look at.
Exactly.
Fasting of the hands, you're going to stop yourself from taking that which does not belong to you. Fasting of the feet, you're not going to walk towards that which Allah would be displeased by. So all of these play a role in fasting itself.
So what happens to me that I do the fasting and yet I lie? What happens to me? What are the reasons? I want to know the reasons behind that.
Well, why would we lie in any place? Lying is a huge sin.
No,
right?
You know, because when we are fasting, we're going through a terrible... You know, I'm getting weaker, I don't eat, I don't drink, all these terribles I take and still, I do horrible things.
I think a lot of it would come down to sincerity, just like Sister Siddiqa mentioned. If we're not sincerely doing it for the sake of Allah, one of the beautiful things about the month of Ramadan is it allows the monster to be revealed within us. That's what it really does.
Yeah.
When you're hungry, you're tired, that monster within will come out.
Exactly.
You know, we'll suddenly lash out, we'll get angry, and then we'll realize, mm-hmm. ah, I have this weakness. So part of the process is actually identifying the weaknesses that exist so that we're able to correct those things within us.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Give us some recommendations, some advices on how to be sincere as well as fasting.
First, for every action that we do, have an intention. Who am I really doing it for? And this comes down to digging very deep within the soul. There might be people who fast the mustahab fasts before the month of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it actually becomes very clearer, because in the month of Ramadan, it is wajib to fast. It is obligatory to fast. One doesn't really have much of a choice there, unless, of course, different other laws apply to them, which allow them to refrain from fasting. For every action that we do, when we start making an intention or understanding who we're doing it for, it starts to become clearer for us where our loyalty lies. Does it lie with Allah, or does it lie with the fame and the respect that we get from other people?
So at first, we have to notice the intention.
You know, in the month of Ramadan, in some countries, there's iftar for the whole 30 nights,
mm-hmm.
sitting with other people, serving in the different Husayniyas, in the different mosques.
Yes, they come together.
Who am I serving other people with food for? Mm-hmm. Is it for Allah, or is it so that I can get a bit more fame? Am I going to feed another person so that I can be praised for my charitable acts, or am I going to do it solely
exactly.
for the sake of Allah?
They call him or her a very generous person.
Yes, so it comes down to digging very deep within the soul, and that's the first step. And once that step is done, then we can see where our vices lie, where our problems are.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can start to correct ourselves. Because if I don't know where my problems are or what issues I have within my soul, I'm never going to be able to correct them.
So the intention and considering the satisfaction of God. Now, aside from that, brother, I would like you to tell us how to chain the monster inside.
Chaining the monster inside.
Because I know some people, and I've heard about it, that they do some wrong things during the year, but when it comes to the holy month, they stop doing that. Now, it's bad. I know it's a bad habit, but still they have a respect for that month.
Even that is, you know, it's better than nothing.
Exactly.
The idea
it's an improvement.
The improvements that we make in the month of Ramadan, we're supposed to continue them. But the point I was making was that, look, sister, what are you? What are you composed of? You, as a person, what constitutes you? So if we go to the subject of akhlaq itself, the mystics talk about four faculties which actually create us,
mm-hmm.
right? The first is intellect. The second is wahm, or the imagination. The third is ghadab, or anger. And the fourth is shahwa, desire, right? These four faculties are what constitute a human being. Now, when you think of intellect, you understand that this is a good thing, right? And the intellect is supposed to be in charge of the other three faculties, right?
Yes.
But then when you think of the other ones, imagination, you think of anger, you think of shahwa, desire, you think that they're really bad things. Why would Allah inherently create something evil within us that we have to chain up?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the idea of Islam. Rather, we're supposed to give direction to the other faculties. If the intellect is in charge of the other faculties within us, it will always direct the other faculties to doing those good things. For example, imagination, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you try and chain the imagination, it's not going to work. Imam Khomeini describes it as almost like a bird, which is jumping from one branch to another. It's always jumping. It's a fleeting imagination. They'll go into fantasies.
You must give it a direction.
They'll start thinking about things which are haram. The imagination can be used for extraordinary things.
Exactly.
Imagining Jannah. The waham is described as the eyes of the heart. Things that you haven't seen, you haven't witnessed, and yet you're supposed to bring iman on them. The angels. Have you ever seen an angel? Maybe you have, but do you really know what they look like? No. You have to use the imagination to reach those things. The same with hell, and the same with barzakh, the afterlife general. Okay, what about anger? Are you supposed to chain the anger and never let it out? No. As a Muslim, you're supposed to let anger out in a controlled manner against injustice, for example, whatever shape and form that injustice takes. Your boss is trampling all over you. I'm going to chain my anger. I'm never going to get angry. And you convince yourself that that's the right thing to do. No, it's not. If injustice is taking place, you're supposed to express anger in a controlled manner. If you don't, then those people are going to continue to commit injustice against you and against other people, right? And the same with shahwa, desire. If you have no desire, you're not going to open your fast at the end of the day. And you are going to die from starvation.
Exactly. Right? Yes, that's
right. Shahwa, we think about it in a completely negative way. Actually, it's something that we are inbuilt with, which helps us to nourish ourselves. The problem occurs when the intellect is not on top of it.
It goes out of control.
It goes out of control. Mm-hmm. Now you've just become obese. Now you've just become addicted to a video game, which you're supposed to enjoy. Now you're not even enjoying it. You're just scrolling on your phone, getting those dopamine shots over and over and over again. You're not even enjoying it anymore. Hello? You're not even enjoying it. You're just addicted.
Exactly. Right? We're just addicted. So right now, let's go for a little break and we'll be back after just a short interval. Thank you for listening, guys.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
So we were discussing how to be looking good inside and outside.
Allah has actually given us a roadmap to enjoy life. There was a celebrity, right? Working out is really difficult, right? When you go to exercise and you're lifting those weights, you hate it.
It is
very difficult.
You actually
hate it, right? Yes. It's horrible. I saw this celebrity in the West. I don't want to mention his name, but he said, when I push weights, he's a bodybuilder. When I push weights, I get the most enjoyment more than anything else in the world.
Though it is very difficult.
We were supposed to train ourselves, train our shahwa, our desire, to enjoy those things which Allah's pleasure is to be found. And this is how the mystics actually enjoy the salah. They enjoy it. Yeah. They love praying.
So they grow a desire in themselves in which this process of purification and growing turns out to be an interesting thing.
It's a beautiful thing. It's something that we enjoy. What's the opposite of desire? Disgust, right? Desire attracts you.
Yes.
Disgust, you know, it repels you. The Ahlul Bayt, when they were questioned, how can you be ma'asum? How can you avoid all sins? They pointed to something disgusting, a carcass which had maggots and flies all over it. And they said, would you eat this? And the guy said, hell no, that's disgusting. He said, sins appear like this to us.
They see the true nature of those things.
Right? And so when we allow the intellect to actually govern the shahwa, we'll start to see things in the way that Allah wants us to see them. Right? And so sins will appear disgusting to
us.
Exactly. And evil deeds, they'll appear disgusting to us. But good deeds, those things which Allah's pleasure is in, we'll start to see those things as enjoyable and we'll be entertained and love them.
So we have to nurture ourselves and work on ourselves more and more and then have a direction in our path.
Exactly. So coming back to the idea of chaining the monster within, that's not the outlook of Islam. We're not supposed to chain it per se. And this makes it appear very difficult and something very strenuous.
Yes.
And something that, you know,
sentence has a very hard connotation.
No.
You feel like it's very huge and massive.
As Muslims, Islam is actually teaching us to be like water. Right? And it's just about directing the water in the right way.
Controlling the way.
But if you try and build a dam and stop the water from flowing, you'll become dry. You'll become dead. And that's why there's so many people who embark on what apparently seems to be the spiritual journey. When you talk to them, though, they appear like dead people, right? They're just like planks of wood.
Exactly.
Like, man, where is your personality? Where is... You never get angry? What do you mean you never get angry?
Well, perhaps you're not alive.
You never have desire?
Yes.
Ahlul Bayt had desire. Ahlul Bayt had anger.
The thing is to control them. The thing is to give them direction. If we're fasting, we do that for the intention that God starts to be satisfied with us. With this intention comes the responsibility to control our desires and go in a way that will lead us to a good destination. This was all the time we had for today's episode. Until another session, I bid you farewell and